This is Actualize Freedom, straight talk on growing clicks and conversions on Amazon FBA from people doing it every day. Now here's your host, digital marketing acrobat, Danny Kenji Carlson.
Today's episode of the Actualize Freedom podcast is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-commerce Leader. Giving big thinking for small business. It's designed for e-commerce leaders eager to grow and protect their business. It's co-hosted by Jason Miles, Shopify store owner and educator, and Michael Veazey, an Amazon specialist. Just search for The E-commerce Leader in your favorite podcast app and subscribe today. All right, what's up, guys? Danny Carlson here with the Actualize Freedom podcast, and we have a little bit different of a take for you guys today. Usually, we're just going very in-depth about Amazon in general. This one's going to be more about one of the challenges as when you're scaling an e-commerce business, one of the biggest challenges you come up across is cash flow and, you know, expanding to different marketplaces and things like that. And these are complicated things that wasn't that many years ago that you pretty much had to pay crazy consultants and finance people to even figure it out for you. But now there's just a lot of technology firms and different solutions that are becoming available to the average Amazon seller who I still think it's pretty amazing. These seven-figure one-person shows that all this technology enables to sell on Amazon. So I'd like to welcome to the Actualize Freedom podcast, Ben Stein from Payoneer. How's it going, Ben?
Hey, Danny. Thanks so much for having me. And, you know, really excited to talk about, you know, the new brand experience, the new seller experience on Amazon.
Heck yeah, man. So let's just dive first into a little bit about your background. So how did you really get involved in the e-commerce and the finance for e-commerce space, so to speak?
Yeah, of course. So, you know, I actually started off at a little known startup at the time called Jet.com. It was kind of my entryway into e-commerce. I was working a different retail job and you know, had enough of that, wanted to try something new and joined over the team in Jet, where we worked, you know, pretty feverishly around the clock to launch a marketplace that became Jet.com and ultimately was acquired by Walmart, which I think has kickstarted their e-commerce strategy and really allowed them to compete with Amazon. You know, so from there, I really became obsessed with marketplaces and the ability that marketplace provides for entrepreneurs to launch a business and grow a business. I think, you know, as you just said, we're seeing these large businesses. It's a one-man shop or two-man shop because of the tools that are out there within the marketplace to help those sellers grow. So Payoneer is actually a company that partnered with Walmart.com, and that's how Payoneer first got on my radar. And I think it was really in line with what I was doing at the marketplace, which was helping a lot of these SMB sellers grow and take that next step and really take advantage of the opportunities on Walmart. So with that and with that education and knowledge, I'm really excited to be on our partnerships team here at Payoneer and continue to help those sellers grow.
Yeah, so that's interesting. A lot of the sellers listening to this podcast also sell on Walmart.com, or they would like to sell on Walmart.com. So what exactly is the relationship between Payoneer and Walmart? Have they had a longstanding relationship with payment processing on Walmart? And how exactly does that work?
Yeah, so you know, Payoneer as a whole will help e-commerce sellers expand and grow with our international paying and receiving accounts. So if you are a US-based seller, for example, and you're here in the US and you want to transact outside of the United States, you can use Payoneer's receiving accounts to receive those funds in another currency and then repatriate them home here back to the US. So that's kind of Payoneer as a whole. And the way it works with Walmart is that as a seller on Walmart, you have to be incorporated in the United States or have that US entity. So it's kind of the reverse there. So if you're an international seller who wants to sell on Amazon US, it's a little bit different. You can't have that international bank account. You can't, you know, have your goods outside the United States and ship them within the United States. And I really believe that so Walmart can, you know, one, control the quality, and then two, control counterfeits and make sure that their products will get to the sellers on time. But same logic applies. So that's where Payoneer can help with these virtual bank accounts and these virtual receiving accounts. So sellers can use Payoneer to receive funds from the U.S. The bank account will show that they are here in the US, and then they can expand to that marketplace and sell happily.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. Like actually just this morning, we had a sales call with a fairly large company from India that is, you know, multiple seven-figure seller in the United States, and they've never set foot in the United States. And most people in India make a very, very much smaller amount of money than they do, and they're able to access that big American market. And I mean, for someone in India especially, they're earning just an incredibly large amount of money. So it's so interesting to see these kind of options be available to people worldwide and manage all the different currency transactions and actually just make everything work just from a completely different country. So one thing I actually really want to talk about is an interesting use case for Payoneer and other similar payment platforms that allow you to move money around in different currencies is the ability to expand more easily to other marketplaces. Because even myself as a Canadian, so when I got started in Amazon, I had to go through the process of setting up a US-based bank account, which is very difficult as a Canadian, and just different services for transferring money at the time were just brand new. Like there was TransferWise that still just like didn't really work so well back then and things like that. Tell me a little bit about the current situation with transferring money in between different currencies, different bank accounts in different countries, and how that's gotten a lot easier in recent years with some of the things like Payoneer and TransferWise.
Yeah, I think as you just alluded to, you know, it used to be a lot more difficult. And then within the past, you know, 3 years, 5 years, we've really seen technology give way to these solutions and make them a lot easier. So, you know, fundamentally, as you just explained, if you're a Canadian seller and you've really dominated the Canadian market, let's say, you know, you're on Amazon in Canada, you're on Walmart in Canada, and maybe Best Buy, you're having a really, really good business. And you say, you know what? I want to try and go south a little bit. Maybe I want to enter the United States market. Maybe I have this really great product that I'm, you know, white labeling myself, that I have invented myself. You're not no longer doing retail arbitrage as you might have been doing, you know, 3 years or 5 years ago. And you say, all right, I want to continue to expand. You can use a solution just like Payoneer to help you do that. And we really do make it easy for you to sign up for our services, you know, receive funds in various currencies and use that information as your bank account on your marketplace of choice. We really do believe that it is a great way for businesses to expand, to test the waters in other marketplaces, and to really grow and see their businesses grow, especially as we've seen e-commerce on the rise. And I know everyone has talked about that, the meteoric rise of e-commerce recently, but I think that it's really just the world catching up to the infrastructure that we've had in place for quite a while, that e-commerce is going to continue to grow, and the ability to expand internationally or, you know, expand within your country and other marketplaces, wherever you may be, is just an opportunity that every seller should take advantage of.
So just to clarify here, can Payoneer be a payout bank account for Amazon? So back when I started selling on Amazon, I don't believe it was available to set a Payoneer account as your actual Amazon payout account, the account Amazon sends the money into. Is that now available on Payoneer?
Yeah, so you can set Payoneer as your bank account on Amazon. There are definitely nuances with each of Amazon's 17 marketplaces, but holistically, you can, you know, if you're a seller and you want to set Payoneer as your bank account, you can do that in the marketplaces to receive that payment.
Yeah, and you could do that theoretically for, you know, five different marketplaces in different countries without really leaving an internet browser.
Exactly. So, you know, let's say you're selling in the US, the UK, the EU, Japan, Canada, Australia, and Mexico, for example. You know, all of those various currencies, right? There are going to be transaction fees in between. Maybe your suppliers in China, and you need to pay them in a certain currency, or your freelancers in Eastern Europe, maybe in South America, and they operate different currencies, and it just can be a huge mess when you're converting all these currencies back and forth, and you know, it might be a big headache. As you just mentioned, you can receive all these funds, one into your Payoneer account, and then pay them out from your Payoneer account. And your freelancers or suppliers can receive those funds in their local currencies, which makes it less of a headache for these sellers who are really looking to expand, or frankly, just operating a global business with global employees.
Yeah, and this stuff can get a massive, massive headache. So I recently, over the past few months, actually, I've been looking at you know, kind of changing my official tax residency and, you know, setting up a company in Indonesia and some various things. And the complexity is just crazy of what has to happen for different things like that to happen. And setting up, you know, the requirements to even get a bank account on your business name in certain countries. And it just gets so, so complicated that, I mean, this really solves a very difficult problem. So at the end of the day, when it comes to setting up different bank accounts in different countries, I kind of just decided it wasn't worth the hassle for what I wanted to do it. But certainly I am taking advantage of solutions like this, where you can have most of the advantages of having bank accounts in all these different countries without having to jump through all of the crazy hoops of, you know, residency or, you know, all the different crazy things that are involved with that.
Yeah. And that's, you know, something we've really focused on as a company here, is really understanding the needs of those sellers, of those entrepreneurs, and adapting our products and really adding growth to those markets where necessary. You know, Payoneer as a whole has, I think it's now 17 offices in 14 countries around the world, and it's always expanding, which is pretty cool. So, you know, as you said, there's some countries where you have to have that established residence or you have to have that presence, and Payoneer will jump through those hoops for you to make sure that we will have a presence in, you know, certain countries that need that. If there's demand there for our customers, because we know that, you know, business knows no bounds and knows no boundaries at certain points.
Yeah, well, and it's certainly been proven in the day and age of e-commerce, where, I mean, the growth rate of so many e-commerce companies these days is so massive, and none bigger than the actual platform itself, Amazon. Mm-hmm. It's just absolutely nuts what's happening there. Speaking of that, something that happens very often to e-commerce businesses, especially Amazon FBA businesses that have very intense cash flow demands, is they're a victim of their own success, right? So if some products start taking off really well, then all of a sudden they find themselves having to fund new product launches and maybe much larger shipments to fulfill the demand. But then they have to make those cash outlays before the money is coming in from Amazon, for example. So maybe talk a little bit about the different cash flow situations that e-commerce businesses get themselves into, and then some potential solutions that a lot of the larger sellers are finding that they have to find.
Yeah, it's been really cool, I think, to see the hyper growth in recent years, especially as we see the rise of brands on Amazon. You know, I think back a few years ago, and it was Amazon was the Wild West, more so than it is right now. And, you know, someone could purchase a bunch of products and sell them on there as an unauthorized reseller, or they could, you know, be the first one to white label a brand within a space, and that was very new, and they were still building consumer trust when it came to white label products. Or now I think that is the norm on marketplaces, and we're seeing sellers build and develop their digitally native brands on Amazon, and then turn and use Amazon as kind of their place to try new things to their brands, and then from there spin off to their own websites and really have that brand presence. But just as you mentioned, that success, you know, comes at a cost, and it's often difficult to scale and take that next step, whether it be from Amazon to your own marketplace or even on Amazon into new product categories, into new verticals, or just expand to those new add-on products. So something that we've heard from a lot of sellers, and a product that Payoneer actually built out of seller demand, is our working capital product, which helps sellers infuse some of that cash into their business. I think that as a e-commerce merchant or an e-commerce brand, it is often tough to go to a traditional bank. It might be tough to walk, you know, onto Fifth Avenue here in Manhattan and go into Chase Bank and say, I need a loan for my e-commerce business. And when the bank looks at your books, they're going to say, well, we see the fluctuation of cash every 2 weeks as you take out a payment and then, you know, purchase inventory or purchase advertising for your cycles, or maybe using it for marketing or new products or freelancers. But the books are fluctuating. There are very little collateral assets actually in the seller's control, because a lot of those are either being shipped to an FBA warehouse or shipped to another party's warehouse. So I think those two things combined are a lot of the main reasons that banks find it tough to loan to e-commerce businesses. So Payoneer has stepped into that space. It's an alternative source of cash for these businesses with our capital advance product. So it's built for Amazon, Walmart, and actually Wayfair sellers. Any three of those marketplaces that you found success on as a seller, and if you've been selling for at least 9 months on Amazon, you can qualify for our capital advance program, which is basically up to $500,000 instantly for your business. It's a pretty cool way to infuse cash into a business, especially if you need it, you know, here heading into Q4 or, you know, planning for Q1 or frankly year round, we think, you know, to stay ahead of the game with inventory, to invest in new products, and to make sure that you can continue to grow and expand your business.
Well, that's the name of the game, because so many Amazon sellers, a lot of the more successful ones listening to this podcast will remember a time in recent years where they had to fund something in their business on multiple personal credit cards and just whatever the heck they could get their hands on, friends and family loans and just whatever they could get their hands on. Because like you said, the banks are just not going to give a loan to an e-commerce business that they don't really understand how it works. The tangible assets are not there most of the time, like you said. So it's interesting to see the different options that are coming out. So I'm interested to hear from you. What are the criteria for getting approved for one of these loans? You mentioned that it is instant. So like, what has to happen before that up to $500,000 can be infused into the business for the fast growth?
Yeah. So it's no credit check or background check. We really try to make it very easy for the seller to get access to this capital. You know, as you mentioned, it's often difficult to get cash for your seller and very frustrating. So we really want to partner with our sellers and make sure that they can get that. You do have to sign up for Payoneer and then connect with your MWS token into Amazon. So Payoneer can take a holistic view of your business. As you mentioned, we want to take a look at the past 9 months and then be able to forecast out for the next 9 months so we can offer pretty accurate and sizable amount of capital for your business.
So by the way, guys, the MWS token, he's just referring basically to like an authorization so that Payoneer software can access the business reports within your Amazon account and then actually calculate your numbers to see if it makes sense to give you the cash advance. Is that essentially what it is?
Yeah, exactly that, right? It's you know, taking a holistic view of your business, and it allows us to really get to know you as a seller so we can, you know, best partner with you and help you grow. And you know, if there is opportunity, right, let's say you're a seller whose ambition is to expand and uses cash to fuel global expansion or more global growth, that Payoneer wants to be the best partner to help you to do that.
Yeah, actually, one objection I've heard to, there are a number of different companies that do that same method where they will connect to the Amazon account and they'll look at the numbers and they will, you know, decide to invest in your business or give cash advance or whatever it is. But I know a lot of Amazon sellers are, they're pretty wary that the company might be stealing their data somehow or using it to, steal their product ideas or things like that. So what do you say to people like that that are just worried about actually giving access to their data?
You know, I think these are all fair concerns. And I think that as a seller, you know, you've put so much sweat and blood equity into your business that you don't want, you know, you really don't want to open the books or open the hood to anyone peeking and prying around. But that's not our intent or our interest. I think that that's usually not the interest of many established companies such as Payoneer or many other companies in the space, that, you know, we're truly invested in the growth of our sellers and want to fuel their growth and fuel their success.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting point. Like as Payoneer, I would be pretty surprised if the intent was to like start competing directly in the e-commerce space as a seller or something like that. Whereas I do sometimes question the intent of some of these other firms that are out there that are, they're in the business of buying other Amazon businesses or something like that, then it actually does make a lot of sense that they would be using that data in other ways. So I personally would be a little bit wary about that.
Yeah. I think if you're a you know, merchant or an entrepreneur looking for cash, I would not recommend Googling, you know, fast cash for my business, how to get cheap cash for my business. I would take the advice of going to look at established firms. And I think it is evident the success that businesses are having on Amazon and their ability to grow their own brands. We see so many players entering the space right now, everyone from, you know, large enterprise businesses to, you know, more mid-sized businesses such as Payoneer, who are here to, I think, really understand the needs and partner with the sellers. I believe Amazon recently announced a partnership with Goldman Sachs, which was something surprising for me for the industry, as that really shows to me that the tide is turning within e-commerce and especially within Amazon. Whereas, you know, we were discussing a little bit before that people are now building brands on Amazon, understanding their Amazon customer, and parlaying that success into a digitally native brand or direct consumer brand, which I think is completely opposite of what we were expecting a few years ago. So the ability to get funding for your Amazon business to help it grow is a lot easier. And, you know, you have to jump through a lot less hoops than you had to a few years ago, whether it be, you know, juggling or managing a bunch of businesses or entities online to make sure you're in the right location. Or if it was dealing with someone that maybe was a little bit shady and you're worried was going to steal your new business idea. I think none of those risks are there anymore. And a lot of firms are really there just to invest in the seller success.
Yeah, and it's just such a fast-growing space that it doesn't make sense for them to branch off into some completely new line of business like that. They're not Amazon. Like, Amazon just has so many billions of dollars at their disposal, they can just pop up a new business line in 2 seconds and it's all good. But
yeah,
not so for Payoneer, I think. I'd be curious to hear, though, like, what kind of insights do you have for us as where financial technology might be going as far as e-commerce goes? Like, what kind of innovations do you think are coming on the horizon over the next year, 2 years, 5 years? Because you have a unique insight at the Payoneer organization as a company who has been innovating for the technology to help e-commerce finances. What other things are coming on the horizon as far as innovations?
Yeah, we've talked right the last 5 years to now and the last 3 years to now, and it's technology is just expedited. I think a lot of connections and technology has allowed the world and those global merchants to communicate a lot easier. So but before I answer, in the next 5 years, I think it's interesting to note what's happened in the previous five, that, all these banks are connected, all these merchants are connected. And I think technology and specifically, Payoneer and a lot of global transaction companies, and we're not alone in this space here, what we have facilitated. You look at a few years ago and it was maybe send this weird money transfer to a factory. If you're US based, send it to a factory overseas to make sure that you can purchase these goods, and maybe the money gets there, maybe the money doesn't, maybe you have to insure it, maybe it costs a little more to insure it than it's worth. And it could have been a crapshoot half the time, or whether that was purchasing inventory from a factory and you didn't know if the quality is going to be good until you got it, or your inventory was held up in customs due to something that you didn't understand. And so you had to send a money transfer to some person to free your goods from customs. Myriads of issues that I think have most of which have been mitigated now by technology and growth that we've seen in the e-commerce industry. I think there's a lot more transparency and clarity around either launching a brand, acquiring products, making sure the products you're getting are ethically produced, they are quality products, and you can receive them easily. So I think all those combined in the next few years, I think we really are going to see the internet connect people in different countries and different cultures, and we are going to see that growth continue to rise. When it comes to fintech predictions, I hope that that the globalization of the economy allows people to transact a lot easier and a lot quicker, and it allows the large gap that is between the large brands at the top and the smaller brands at the bottom just continue to shrink. And we see a big rise in SMBs, the smaller becoming the mid and the mid becoming the larger brands. I really think we are going to see that. Outside of that, I think that we're going to see a lot more brands have exits on Amazon. That's something I'm personally really excited for. If you look at like VCs and brands here, we see that direct consumer brands were huge. There was everyone selling mattresses online, and everyone was selling pillows and then shoes. And, you name it, there was a brand out there for it. But we didn't see a lot of that translating to Amazon or coming from Amazon. Where now, for example, there was Anker Electronics that went public recently, which I think is a huge step and a huge sign for any Amazon seller out there. And that's a brand with large consumer trust that was built on Amazon, and they're proud of that. They have the world's largest marketplace to test their products, to say, okay, we've launched this speaker and it works, but we know this speaker doesn't. We're going to kill the speaker that doesn't work, and we're going to go with the products that work. And they can test it. It's low cost and relatively low effort to do that because they have their global marketplace of consumers there. So I'm really excited to see brands develop and incubate on Amazon and then grow from there, whether that be continue to have that success on Amazon or spinning off, going public and having those large success stories. I think it is inspiring for a lot of sellers, and it's what I look forward to seeing on Amazon.
Yeah, it's so inspiring too. I mean, I have definitely been the beneficiary of all of this amazing technology that allows just, average dudes like me to go start a business with the internet and a very low startup capital and maybe some virtual assistants in the Philippines and just build it into a legitimate business. That opportunity 25, 30, 40 years ago was just not nearly as big as it is right now. Like, it blows my mind really every day. The software we have access to, the world global talent we have access to, like, it's maybe popular right now to hire people remotely because of COVID, but even before then, hiring people remote gives you access to the top talent no matter where they are in the world. Like, we just hired a new operations manager who's based in the Philippines and has incredibly amazing experience, perfect English and everything like that, but at a much lower cost than normally would be in the United States. And for different team members, we hire only people in the United States because that's where that talent is located. Some of it's only in the Philippines because that's where that type of talent is located. So it's just the opportunities for growing any type of business online, honestly, has never been greater. So very, very interesting space to be in right now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, I think the ceiling is very high and the floor is very low. The cost to entry, as you just mentioned, is lower than ever. And if you have an idea, people shouldn't be dissuaded by the amount of competition, perceived competition that may be in a space, the saturation that may be in a space. Because if you are an entrepreneur, you know, and you have this great idea, you want to launch this product on Amazon, and you know, you see in the United States, maybe it's a saturated market. I think, as you just mentioned, you know, there are other global marketplaces and there are global talents and there are different ways you can market that product globally. Maybe the United States, your widget is the most saturated category, but you turn to Australia and you might be one of the first people to introduce that product to that market. Or you turn to Japan, or you turn to the EU, or you turn to Mexico. You know, the internet, I think, has really brought down a lot of walls and enabled cultures to learn more about other cultures and frankly, propagate the e-commerce space and commerce as a whole.
Yeah. And this last comment here is for the people who are beginners just starting out or haven't started yet and just kind of on the fence of starting their first online business. It's actually one of the biggest objections we get on sales calls at Kenji ROI from brand new beginning Amazon sellers is, what is the success rate of, you know, a new seller on Amazon? And I think that entire mindset has a giant flaw, which is they are basing their own success on a statistic of the average person, right? I think if you're going to go for something like this, you have to almost have that mindset of, if you hear the average stat of everyone's heard like 90 something percent of businesses fail within the first 2 years, right? So you basically should have the mindset of, great, I'm going to be part of the 5% that doesn't fail. That's great, right? Because like, why would you just lump yourself in with like the average statistics of everyone who tries something? Like, you've got to feel like you are the exception to that rule and you are the person who's going to figure it out. And because then you have the mindset that you are going to do whatever it takes to figure it out and you're going to push through. I mean, of course you're better than the 95% of people that just do it and they expect everything to go right and they quit when it doesn't go right and they just like never try again, right?
Yeah, it can be a little daunting. It can be a little discouraging, but you know, I think that the opportunities now, especially for any small business, you know, that if you're looking at the statistics and thinking, you know, I'm going to fail, I can't do this, the wall's too high, I can't climb it, then you know, maybe you should try something else. But I think if you're a small seller and you're driven and you have a great idea, that you know, selling online and specifically taking your business global or selling into new markets or accessing capital to grow your business has been easier than ever. You know, the e-commerce is just continuing to grow and it's not going to stop. I think, as you just mentioned, you know, there's a global talent pool with global products and truly a global market for anything out there. And sellers should not be discouraged by any of the statistics. It's a cool time to enter e-commerce, and I think the opportunity is only going to get greater.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. Well, Ben, thank you so much for coming on the Actualize Freedom podcast here. And if people want to reach out to you personally or know more about what you're mentioning there with Payoneer, where's the best place for them to do that?
Yeah, they can email me personally. It's benst@payoneer.com, and more than happy to answer any questions for anyone who has to sign up. And you know, Danny, happy to provide you with some further information so they can reach out to you as well and get connected to learn more.
Perfect. And we'll put some resources in the show notes, guys. So if you're driving, don't try to crash your car and just like go to the website right away. We'll put it there. Don't worry about it. Be safe. And until next time, guys, go out there and kick some ass. And thank you for joining.
For show notes and resources mentioned in this episode, visit KenjiROI.com.